with you today. If we're going to read part of the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, 1 to 7. And I'm talking about making room for Jesus. And right now, I really think that's the message that Jesus is wanting to get across to us, to make room for him. He's here. And you had a picture today of Jesus. We had that word that came forth. Jesus is in our midst, and he's asking us to make room for him, to open up our hearts to him, that we might experience him. And so we're going to start by reading this passage of Scripture. You'll see it on the screen. And I'm reading it from the New Living Translation. If you have another translation, that's fine as well. It says, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, and he took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. And Lord, we just pray that you're going to bless it and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. The King James says, because there was no room for them in the inn. And so this morning, I want to share with you about making room for Jesus. In our busy world, there's a lot of challenges that we all face to make room for Jesus, to make room for serving God in our lives. We all occupy our lives with things to do, and today we probably do that more than ever, especially with all the modern technology that we have. And I'm thankful and enjoy all the modern things that we have, the blessings that we have around us today. But if we're not careful, we can easily become consumed with the activities and the blessings of life, that making room for God in our lives can be challenging. If we're not careful, we can even find ourselves neglecting the very God that we say that we serve. As we come to this time of Christmas and our celebrations of Christmas, you know, the same things can happen during our Christmas celebrations as well, that we're so busy and occupied with doing the activities of the season that we fail to make room for the reason of the season, Jesus Christ. And we don't want that to pass us by without making room for Jesus. Now, when that happens, it's not that we do that intentionally, but we need to recognize that in each one of us, there is a potential in every one of us to get so consumed with life that slowly, gradually, we can find ourselves having no room for God or having very little room for the God that we serve. And so I want to share on this topic this morning, encourage us to make room for Jesus in our lives. And I really believe that this is a message that is coming across to us right now. I've been noticing it in songs. I've been noticing on people's posts. I've been noticing that people are starting to make placards about that. Make room. Make room for Jesus. I really believe that Jesus is wanting to move in our midst in a far greater way. And I believe he wants to move upon this province, this nation, this region, in a far greater way. And I believe he's telling us, make room, I'm coming, I'm stepping in. This is that beautiful picture that we heard of today as well. And so I believe there's a calling afresh to make room for him, because he's desiring to do something in this church. He's desiring to do something in this region. He's desiring to do something in this province. He's desiring to do something in this nation. And we need to make room for him to move. And a good question maybe to ask ourselves at the very beginning is, do we have room for Jesus? Are we giving him enough room for him to move? And that's really a question that we have to ask as individuals and look at our own lives and see what we're doing in our own lives and to see if, is there even space in our lives for God to move? Because I really believe that God is really speaking to us to say, you need to make some space in your lives for me to move in your lives. And so that's something I think that God is really pressing in on us. And kind of to get that point across, I want to refer to this Christmas story and then some other passages of Scripture that talk about making room for Jesus. Now, as we begin, we read the story of Christmas, and we see that it starts with a sad reality that there was no room in the town of Bethlehem for Jesus. Joseph and Mary had to travel from one end of Israel to the other end of Israel, from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And when they finally get to Bethlehem, the time came for Jesus to be born. And here we have the very Son of God, the Savior of the world, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And yet in this small town of Bethlehem, there was no room for Jesus in all of the town. Luke 2, 6-7 says, "And while they were there and time came for her baby to be born, she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them." King James says, "And they laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Every place of accommodation in Bethlehem was full. Every inn, every home was full, as people from all over Israel had come to be part of this census that was ordered by the Romans. And because this was ordered by the Romans, it wasn't an optional thing. Everyone had to be there. And so as Mary and Joseph arrived, they found themselves without a place to stay. And she's ready to give birth. If only the people of Bethlehem understood and realized what was happening that day, I'm sure many would have said, "Take my room. Take my room." Or many people in their homes would have said, take my house, take my room. This is the King of Kings." They would have gladly have done that, but they weren't aware. They weren't aware of what was taking place. And the Bible says there just simply wasn't any room. There was no hotel.com for them to Google and to book their rooms. They were all gone. There was nothing left. As we think about that in ourselves, do we have room for Jesus? What about our community right here in St. Paul? What about our region right here in St. Paul? As the Lord would begin to move in this area, would we be able to say, "We got room"? We have room as a town to say, "We'll make room for God to move." Do we have that same saying in our region that we would clearly say, "We'll make room for Jesus to move upon our area"? And that's a question I think we need to ask ourselves. Will we make room, or will there be the answer, "There is no room for Jesus in this community or this area"? And I believe that answer is, there is room. I believe our community is saying, "Yes, there is room." The Bible tells us in the last days that people will be about their daily business. People will be enjoying life. They'll be participating in the activities of life. They'll be marrying and getting in marriage and all those kinds of things and falling in love. But it says they're going to be totally unaware of the return of Christ when he comes. And as you think of those verses that talk about that, we don't want that to happen. We don't want to see that in our town. We don't want to see that in our region. We don't want to see that in the communities, this Lakeland region, that we would be found that we were not aware, that we were caught unaware. We were so busy with life that we didn't recognize that Jesus was in our midst. Now, the town of Bethlehem, unfortunately, didn't recognize that Jesus was there. Even though they had shepherds that came, the angels that came to the shepherds, what did the shepherds do? They went into the town of Bethlehem. They began to share. The Bible says they went and they shared with others what they had seen and what they had experienced. You remember the Magi. When the Magi came into Jerusalem, there was such a stir in the city of Jerusalem. So imagine the same Magi now coming into a town of Bethlehem. It would have been a great stir again in that town. But it doesn't really tell us that Bethlehem got behind the fact that Jesus, the Savior, was being born. They continued to have no room. And so the Bible says Jesus was born in a stable, a lowly place, far from the glories of heaven, because there was no room. And friends, we don't want that to happen in our community. We don't want that to happen in our region, that there's no room for our Savior. So we got some work to do. But a much more serious thing occurs later on in Jesus' life. When Jesus is addressing some Pharisees and crowds of people, and they came to hear his message, but they really didn't come to hear, but rather they came to find fault. And we see this story where these Pharisees and the scribes and some of the people that were supporting them, they're coming to Jesus. They're not really coming to hear Jesus. They're just coming to find some fault. They're coming to cause trouble. And it's interesting that Jesus sees right through their hypocrisy and exposes what's in their hearts. And he tells them very plainly, there's no room in your hearts. That's the problem. There's no room in your hearts. And that's our second point that we need to look at, that we don't want to see that happen as well, that there's no room in our hearts to experience Christ, to draw closer to God. We want to make sure that there's room in here to experience God. And see, for these people, listening wasn't the problem. They could hear Jesus. But the problem was they had no room in their hearts to receive the message of Jesus. You'll find that in John chapter 8, 37. It says, yes, I realize that you are descendants of Abraham, and yet some of you are trying to kill me because there's no room in your hearts for my message. And that's a much more serious situation for not making room for Jesus. That it's not just a problem on the outside, but a problem on the inside, where we're not open to experience Christ or to experience what God wants to do in our lives. The Pharisees, they thought they knew. They thought they knew everything they needed to know about God. They thought they knew everything there was to know about the Scriptures. And we find out that they missed the very thing that Scripture talked about. Here was Jesus in their midst. And even it was interesting when the Magi were asking the people in Jerusalem, where's the Savior to be born? They answered him. They told him where. Do you think they would have went running themselves? But they didn't. See, pride blinded them. And since they were convinced in their own hearts that they were right, they were not open to hear anything to the contrary. So the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and even some of the people that began to differ with Jesus and what he was saying. They didn't like what Jesus was saying. And they began to argue with him. They began to complain with him and disagree with him and find fault with him. They were looking to discredit him and cause division among those that were hearing Jesus. And it tells us they were even going to the extreme that they were planning on killing Jesus. And this was from the people who were the religious leaders. People who should have known better. People that knew the Word but yet didn't allow the Word to find a resting place in their hearts. And they had a form of religion, but their actions were far from what that religion was supposed to be. Jesus pointed out to them and said that your Father is not the Heavenly Father. Your Father is actually the devil, which they didn't like that either. But their own hearts were condemning them. These people were full of themselves, more concerned about their appearance than what was really going on in their hearts. They were blinded to the truth. Pride filled their hearts. There was no openness to hear what Jesus was saying. They already had formed their opinion before they even seen or even heard Jesus speak. And because of that, there was no room for Jesus in their hearts. There wasn't even room to hear the message, because he was speaking to their hearts, but they had hardened their hearts so that they would not hear. And that's a danger we all need to avoid. All through Scripture, there's warnings of hardening our hearts to the place where we will have no room for Jesus. Hebrews 3:15 is just one of many verses where it tells us and reminds us, it says, remember what it says. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. And see, that can be a serious error on our part. If our hearts have no room for Jesus and what he is saying, that when we hear from him, that we just simply close it off, or we begin to argue, we begin to say, oh, that's not God, that's not how he works, and we begin to work actually against God sometimes. We need to be careful when we go into that area of complaining and arguing and finding fault and thinking that, you know, I got enough of God. I'm good. Like, I don't have really any problem. I'm good. Doesn't matter, man. I don't have to do anything else. I'm good. Well, the Bible tells us to work out our salvation. Tells us to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Tells us to examine ourselves and look at ourselves. because we don't want to get to that place where our hearts are closed and there's no room in our hearts for Jesus. See, the very person Scripture spoke about was in their midst, but the Pharisees didn't even recognize it. And instead, they began to oppose him, and then they even went further to kill him. They had no room for Jesus. And that's why we do. We need to examine ourselves. We need to really work on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Our relationship with Christ needs to be more than a Sunday. You know, it's great that you're here today, but if that's all your relationship is with God, then it's not enough. We need those daily times where we have communion with God, where we pray and read the Scriptures and seek Him. We need those times when we gather together with fellow Christians. We need those times when we gather as a church to come together and worship the Lord. This morning, what a beautiful morning. You know, last night my wife and I were watching a number of videos of worship. And I was just longing in the heart, saying, man, we just need to really enter in more in our worship. And as we started to sing, I could start hearing you behind me. Ah, people are entering in. And I was just basking in that. I was just loving that, listening to the people of God worshiping. But something far more important to me is the Lord hears our praises. The Lord rejoices in our praises. He gets excited when He can hear your praise, when He can hear your voice being raised up to worship Him. That's what we want. That's what we want. But let's guard our hearts. Let's examine our hearts. Because we don't want to miss that message of Christmas, the gospel of Jesus Christ, because there's no room in our hearts. I like what the Scripture says, and when you read the book of Revelations, and it addresses the church, and it talks to the church first. And to me, that's just Jesus saying, listen, church, you need to be ready as you come into these end times. And one of the things that gets repeated 7 times, and actually 8, because it ends the book of Revelation with these words. It says, Revelation 2:29, and there's another 7 more verses that say the exact same thing. It says, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what He's saying to the church. Our hearts need to stay open so that we can hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. That's something that is needed, that we might be open to the message of Jesus. Very important. And then lastly, even though we can mess up at times and have no room for Jesus in our lives, Jesus wants us to know that He has room for us. And I think that is so beautiful, because sometimes we do mess up. Sometimes we don't do it intentionally, but we just get so occupied with life and doing things that time with God just seems to decrease and decrease and decrease, and all of a sudden we don't have any time with Him at all. But I'm so glad that He doesn't give up on us, that He keeps knocking and He keeps calling to us. He keeps stirring our hearts. He keeps moving into a service even like today, where He wants us to say, hey, I'm in your midst. I want to get your attention. Will you open up your heart to me? I want to do something fresh. I want to do something new. I like the parable of the great feast and Luke chapter 14. And it's about a banquet in the kingdom of God. And Jesus is inviting us to come. It's a picture of the marriage supper of the Lamb at the end times, where Jesus calls us all home as Christians to be with Him and to celebrate with Him at this great banquet. But it tells us, as He sends out His servants to tell people that, hey, it's ready, it's ready. What do they find? They find people start giving excuses. Well, I'm kind of busy. I got this to do. And it's all stuff about life, that people are just busy with life, that they have no room for Jesus, even when the call is given at the very end to say, come. We're kind of saying, could you just wait a little bit? I got a few other things to do first before I respond. And we see that Jesus says, well, I still got room, and my house will be full. And so He tells His servant to go out and tell people that the banquet is ready, and come. And then they come back and say, Lord, we went and we told all these people. But He said, well, go back and tell some more, because I want my house full. I want my house full. We find that in verses 21-23 of Luke 14. The servant returned and told his master what they had said, and his master was furious and said, go quickly in the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. And after the servant had done this, he reported, there's still room for more. And so his master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. God has plenty of room for us. He continues to make room for you and I. I love another passage of Scripture. Lots of times you hear it at funeral services, and it shouldn't only be referred to there because it's a powerful verse, John 14:2, where Jesus says, there is more than enough room in my Father's home. If it were not so, I would have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. Jesus has room for you and I. Whether this is your first time to church or whether you've been here all your life, Jesus wants you to know, I got room for you. There's a place for you. I have a place for you. I got a room for you. There's room. I have room for you. Lots of room. Lots of rooms. And so he sends out invitation after invitation, hoping we'll respond and hear his message of salvation. Even though this was an encouraging word that Viola gave here this morning, it was still a message of invitation. He's calling us. He's calling us. We see that all through Scripture, Matthew 11, 28 to 30, a very common call of Christ speaking to the world. And he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Let me teach you because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Come. I really believe that Jesus is really doing that in our world right now. He's letting the world know that I'm here. I want you to come. I want you to respond to me. And we need to be so careful that we're not so busy in life that we miss the call as he calls out to us. Jesus has room for us, and he's sending out invitations. Are we hearing that? Are we hearing that? You know, this was kind of brought to my attention afresh a few weeks ago. And it was kind of an unusual week. And people were calling me. People were speaking to me, encouraging me, and just saying all kinds of good things. And we had a service with some prophetic guys that were here. And after that service was over, I met a person right here at the front of the church as I was getting ready to go out. And they handed me a piece of paper. And on that piece of paper was a vision that person had. And the person went on to say that, Pastor, I was praying for you this morning, and God gave me a vision of you. And he said, I saw you in front of this fence. And on the other side of that fence was a vicious, ugly, powerful dog that was barking at you and lunging at you from the other side of the fence. But he said, beyond that fence was a beautiful beach and a lake where Jesus was beckoning you to come. And it just basically went on to say, Pastor, you need to go around the fence and run for the beach where Jesus is calling you. And then he says, and by the way, the dog's on a leash. It's okay. Go for it. Go for it. But Jesus is calling. I found that very interesting. But before I even made it halfway down that aisle, another person came to me. Said, Pastor, I had a vision of you. And as they talked about that vision, they talked about being on this cliff. And they were looking down the river, and we needed to get down to the river. And they said, we made it down to the river, but it was very hard. It was very difficult, but we made it down to the river, and now we're at the river ready to cross. And there's somebody on the other side waiting for us. Then they said, I had another vision too, Pastor. Said we were at an event with lots of youth. A youth revival was taking place, and there were many rooms. And we're in the middle room, and we were praying. I kind of thought of, well, man, that's kind of similar to Christopher, Pastor Christopher's vision, where he saw many buildings, yet not joined together. And he's leading young people through the opposition and roadblocks to get to the church. See, I look at all that. Listen, Jesus is really trying to get our attention. He's trying to get my attention, your attention. And he wants us, and he's beckoning us to come closer. Come closer. And friend, that's not just for the pastor to come closer. That's for all of us to come closer. God wants all of us to come closer. This is not about just a pastor or a church. It's about all of us. And he's begging us to come. He has something big in store for us. And we need to make sure that we respond to that beckoning and to his voice. Because he's got room for us. And we need to make sure that we get room for him. So as we close, do you have room for Jesus? Do you have room for more? What if God start pouring out his spirit and doing some things? Do you have room to be part of it? Or would you say, I can't be part of that, I'm too busy? I really think that God is really bringing us to a place we need to make some decisions. Make room. Make room. Make room for Jesus. Be careful of allowing too much stuff to fill your life that you don't have room for Jesus. I know I want to make more room for Jesus, even more room than what I've given to him in the past. And I want to experience more of him. I want more of Jesus in my own life. But if I want that, then I need to make more room to experience him in my life. And I really believe Jesus is beckoning us to come. Scriptures are very clear. Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Christmas season, we remind of Jesus Christ, our Savior. But how many people in our communities, how many people around us have no room for Jesus? We have a job to do. We have a job to go out and tell and share. Tell others to say it's time to make some room in your life for Jesus, because Jesus is wanting to encounter you. As I was sharing with Christopher about what I was going to speak on, he kind of replied back to me really quick. He said, you know, there's a song by this gentleman. He said that I met them when I was in down in the States going through this course. And there's a song that he does. It's called Make Room. It's a new song. And so I kind of thought, well, you know, I'm going to check that out. And so I did. I checked it out. And interesting, I found another song just yesterday when I was going into the hospital by Casting Crowns of Matt Meyer. And theirs is also entitled Make Room. But the one I want to share with you is by Jonathan McReynolds. And I want to read you the words. And then after that, I want to show you his video as he sings that. And the song goes like this. It says, I find space for what I treasure. I make time for what I want. I choose my priorities, and Jesus, you're my number one. Yes, Jesus, you're my number. So I will make room for you. I will prepare for two. So you don't feel that you can't live here, please live in me. Please live in me, God. I will make room for you. My will, you can move that over. My way, you can move that over. My ego, you can move that over. My plans, you can move that over. My schedule, you can move that over. My itinerary, you can move that over. See, I will make room for you. My habits, you can move that over. My attitude, you can move that over. Whatever it is that's just not like you, you can move that over. Whatever it is that's in your way, you can move that over. Whatever that's in your way, move it over. Whatever it is that takes your space, move it over. Whatever it is, I don't want it there, you can move it over. See, I will make room. I want to seek you first. Get the odd things out of the way. You can move that over. I want to seek you first. Move it all out of the way. You can move that over. See, whatever it is, Lord, I want you. You can move that over. I will make room for you. See, whatever it is, you can move it all. You can move that over. Please just move it all. Help me move it all. You can move that over. Jesus, I just want you to know you can move that over, that I will make room. I find space for what I treasure. I make time for what I want. I choose my priorities, and Jesus, you're my number one. That's a really powerful words to that song. And Christopher, he pointed me to this video, and I thought today that we would do something different, and we would end this service a little bit differently by watching the video of that song. And we're still early, so, you know, just if you can give us 10 more minutes and just sit there, or if you want to stand up and worship, it's a very worshipful song. And if you want to worship the Lord, I certainly encourage you to do that as they sing.